Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share this information with y'all. I really kind of wrote this up more for the consultant group and hoping that maybe this afternoon when the consultant conference is over, that when they had the afternoon sessions to figure out where they wanted to go, that this might be one of the papers they wanted to go to. For whatever reason, it's competing against the consultant conference right now. But for the foliar feeding in cotton, there's a lot of questions on that. And I look out there and I see most of y'all are in the field. Y'all know kind of where cotton is right now. Increased cost of production, the cost of the value of the land has just not gone up like everything else. And you know what's done to the acres. You know, you look in Arkansas, you don't have to go very many years back. We had 1.2 million acres of cotton. This last year, we had 0.2 million acres. And so there's a lot of things we need to do different. And we get a lot of questions on, do I need to use foliar feed products? Now, people are getting a lot of pressure to use some of these products. And there's a lot of questions. Do they pay? Do we need to use these? What's going on? And so I worked with a couple of county agents. So that's Ray Benson and Jason Osborne in Mississippi County. That's the largest cotton producing county in Arkansas. So we put out a test. But again, you know, high production costs, low value of the land. It's time to cut costs. We need to figure out, we need to be more efficient with what we're doing. You know, when we look at our insecticide sprays, I don't know that there's hardly a time that we'll make an insecticide spray without sampling, knowing what we have out there. But there's a lot of times we'll make a foliar feed, we'll do a lot of different things and not really know what the status of the plant is. So sampling is really important. And I, just for kicks and grins, I went back to, you know, when we talk about sampling, a lot of people talk about using a 0 to 6 inch sample for fertilizer recommendation. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, Wayne. I see you out there. But I went back to Scott McConnell. I know some of y'all know Scott McConnell. He had a long-term nitrogen study there at Roar. It started in 1982. He had irrigated plots and dryland plots. He had 30 unit increment plots. He had 0, 30, 60, 90, 120, and went up to 150. But it's very interesting when you look at his data from 1988 to 1983 on the left side. Let me get this mouse over here. You look at his nitrate nitrogen on a 0 to 6 inch sample. You can't split out the long-term zero from the high rate, the 120. And that's probably not a surprise to y'all. But we get a lot of consultants, and I talk to a lot of farmers. They say, you know, 0 to 6 inch sample really doesn't tell you a lot. And so that's really surprising. And again, I'm preaching to the choir, I wanted to put this up. The big thing is on the dry land is Scott's work. You know, and that's where Galen, I know in Texas y'all done a lot of deep sampling, and that's really where you're going to pick this up. But I do know, you know, you think back in the 80s, I think we irrigate cotton a lot different now than we did back then. A lot of times we'd turn the water on and we'd run, and you know, we might have some sets that go 24 hours. And we don't do that now, so I think there may be some things that are a little bit different. But those are some of the challenges that we're looking at and needing to do a deep sample. Here's a study that during my break from cotton, from an extension agronomist, while I was with the National Cotton Council, that a lot of cotton specialists worked with. And when you look at across a number of sites across the cotton belt, you look at applied nitrogen, and it's these two graphs over here, somewhere between 90 and 100 pounds is where the yield peaks. And that kind of really falls in line with our recommendations in Arkansas on 90 units on our silt soil and 100 units of nitrogen on our more clay soils. And so that really kind of falls in line. When you look at our recommendations for phosphorus, you know, on our 0 to 6 inch sample, you know, anything greater than 36 part per million, we don't trigger a recommendation. Anything over 175 part per million doesn't trigger a recommendation. You know, that's on a 2 1/4 bale crop. That's 1,125 pounds of cotton. But you know, that was our state average this year. But Wayne, if you're growing cotton and that's your yield goal, are you gonna make money? No. You know, we got to be in the 1,300, 1,400 pounds. So my struggle is, and I'm working with Leo and Mortessa and Nathan Slayton. You know, these are our base recommendations, but we got to be able to modify these to go in and work from these. You know, if you look at nutrient removal in the 1,125 pounds, that's what we take off. You know, we haul to the gym 72 units of nitrogen, 32 of phosphorus, and 43 of potash. Again, I'm talking to the choir. What do we do when we haul four bales to the gym? And we've got guys that have farm averages across their farm between 1,600 and 1,700 pounds of cotton. And we've got fields where, you know, some of them are pushing that one-ton club. And so we've got to be able to work with these farmers and help them decide what they need to do. So now then, with that said, get to the situation where we had the foliar plot. This was up in Mississippi County at Manella, a farmer. We have some research plots up there, but the farmer manages the plots other than what our research treatments are in the particular area I was working in. And so, and Galen, this is a field that I was going to put my potash study in, and the guys are out there sampling. They took a lunch break, and they come back, and there was a fertilizer truck driving over the plots. They were putting out 20 units of phosphorus and 80 units of potash. And so, at that point, it was time to move on to a different location. But anyway, here's our soil test, a 0 to 6. I asked them to run nitrate nitrogen, 30, and this is early February. But, you know, the soil test came back 80 part per million on phosphorus, 328 on potash. But then you see what the farmer put out. You know, he put out 120 and 80. And so our fertility should be in good shape. The 20 and 80 again, that went out in February. The nitrogen went out in a couple of applications in season, you know, after stand establishment and a little bit after swearing. Since we were doing this in a potash study, you know, we sampled this in horizons 0 to 6, 6 to 12, and 12 to 24. And some of y'all that out there doing fertility, this is probably old hat to y'all, and y'all know what to expect. You know, for an agronomist, a lot of times I focus in on from the soil level up. I hadn't really paid a lot of attention to what's going on down below the soil surface. And that's something that I've tried to do since I came back to the council. You know, thinking about soil health, some other things that are going on, I think that's going to have big impacts on water infiltration rates. So it's going to be very beneficial for a lot of things. So I thought it was really interesting to see where our nutrient concentrations are. And there's also, I've gone in season in my 0 to 6 and split that out between my 1 and 2 inch band and my 3 and 4 inch band and 5 and 6 inch band, and then look to see where the roots are on the plant. And it's kind of interesting to see where the stratification of the nutrients are, even like in the 0 to 6. But again, we were in pretty good shape. We went out, we had four row plots, 50 foot long, replicated our timings. The majority of the treatments went out at first bloom and at first bloom plus 2 weeks. But we had some that there was treatments that called for a first bloom plus 1 week, plus 2 week, plus 3 week. But the county agents went by four different groups of folks. They went to the Helena people, the CPS, the home oil company, I guess it's just the three, and got product from them. They gave us the product. And then they gave us the protocol that they wanted us to use to test the products. And so we did that. You know, I didn't want to make this a witch hunt against, you know, there's any number of products we can name. You know, you drive by the airport and you see totes of all the different ones from the different companies that say, well, you need to put this in with your insecticide too because it's going to make it work better and all these things. But you see all these different products. And I didn't want to make it a witch hunt for those. So I kind of broke this up and went back in and, you know, there's a lot of times we'd fly urea on, we'd fly ammonium sulfate on. There's different things that we fly on, so I tried to make this more of a supplemental fertility test. So if I look at the treatments, and I didn't put the names on here, but the treatments that had nitrogen and boron in it, nitrogen or boron. You know, we flew on, well, actually we simulated a flight. We measured, we had 50-foot rows, and so we measured into a cup the amount of fertilizer that needed to go on the 50-foot length. And we took the cup, and after a little bit of calibration, and some of y'all, I'm preaching to the choir again, some of y'all have done this, but, you could get, I felt very good at how accurate we were and how uniform our distribution was, just kind of dribbling over the top of the plant and making it fall. We had to do some practice with my guys and girls before we started, but anyway, it worked out good. But we simulated an aerial application of 50 pounds of urea, 100 pounds of ammonium sulfate. We did a foliar, and we went and got some 23%. In the past, I'd always used 3 gallons. But I was looking at some papers and where I saw 4 gallons. And before, and maybe some of y'all can help me out with this later, but in the past, when I put 3 gallons out on cotton that was actively growing, I never burned a leaf. But I did the 4 gallons of the 23%, and we burned some leaves, even on actively growing plants. Now, when you get the cutout in the past, and this was in the Brazos Bottoms, and even some in Arkansas, when the plants were actively growing, I don't remember a time I ever burned leaves with 3 gallons of 23%. But when you get the cutout and the leaves aren't you're not producing new leaves and all that, then that's times when I burn those. And so there's a lot of products. Here's and I went through some of them have NP and K plus boron. Some of them are just nitrogen and boron. Some are just, there's some here that's just boron. And the pluses here, there's other things in there too. There might be sulfur, there might be magnesium, manganese, a lot of different things. So again, I didn't want this to be a witch hunt. Look at treatments that just had the potash in there. We went in and simulated 100 pounds of muriate of potash, O60. We simulated an aerial application of that. We even got some OO15 and knifed in 3 gallons. And I think some of the companies are pushing that. That's 4.45 units of potash, about a $25 treatment. Also did a foliar application of OO15. And then these are a list of the products that had potash in them. So when we get to the bottom line, no significance. I did something that bothered me a lot on that. Look at CVs, 20.9. It had just a tremendous amount of variability. But, there's a lot of soil variability in the field, but that's the way, this is real life. That's the way it is in that part of the state. But again, no significant difference. I think, you look at the untreated control kind of right here in the middle. I think it's interesting that the soil applied urea is on top. But then you look at ammonium sulfate, that's the one on the bottom. So, a lot of this just isn't, this isn't computing to me. But again, one thing that jumped out at me, and I'm going to try to finish this up right quick because I'm running out of time. A lot of farmers have said, Bill, we put our nitrogen out too early. We got some big rains. I think we're running out. We're seeing some yellow. What'd I do? And then that's a situation where foliar feet can get you out of a bind. And they put it out, and they call me back and said, Bill, I put that out. And it didn't do anything. I don't know. I need to call my pot to see if he even flew it out. And I said, well, that's exactly what you wanted to see. Because cotton, when you look at what happens to the nitrogen, and this is some work that Oosterhaus and Miley did a long time ago, you put a foliar feed on the plant, it moves from that leaf to that subtending bulb really quick. And if a plant's in a situation where you're really into reproductive nitrogen stress, you're not going to see a visual response. And so I tell the farmers, I said, if you put a foliar feed out and it turns green, you didn't need it. And so that's some of the things that we look at. And again, there's a lot of things that go on in the field from start to finish. But, the 4 R's and we got to do the right thing at the right time. And fertility is not any different than that. The right source, the right rate, the right time, and the right place. But again, trying to work with these farmers, they're in the field all the time. But we got to work with them and help them figure out where we need to be on our recommendations, where we can cut costs without cutting a finger off. So I am just about out of time. So with that, I'm going to stop right here.